بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created us, sustained us and above all created us in the best of deen that is the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Gatherings of this nature are beneficial not only to those who are present, but even to those who may hear whatever is transmitted from here via whether it be through Radio Islam or whether it be through any other means. Therefore, our intention for sitting is for us to benefit for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also for us to carry forward whatever we may learn, be it the speaker or those listening. The very first thing that I would like to begin with is the fact that we say youth. This is a youth convention. The aspect of youth, for us to understand that in Islam, in contrast to what may be the view out there in the modernist world, when we talk about youth, then in Islam, there are only two stages. In Islam, we are either answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being baligh, by being matured, or we are not baligh and not answerable to that extent. Now, the middle gap that is found in other environments is what is known as youth. To them, is the youth stage wherein the attitude is portrayed that you may do whatever you want because this is the stage of youth. So in this age, you do what you want, you do how you want, and do wherever you want. Now, contrary to that in Islam, Islam speaks very, very firmly with regard to two stages. It's either we are too young for the faraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be incumbent upon us, or alternatively, that stage wherein a person is completely answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is absolutely no in-between stage in Islam. And the environment that we live in, we should understand, is that environment today wherein very often it is said that ma'rufu zamanina, what has become the norm of today, was actually looked down upon by our predecessors. And what we look at as something is looking down upon, the nations to come after us would probably regard that as their norm. So as time goes, as the stages would improve, we need to realize and look at what are the challenges that are facing youth, and in particular with regard to technology. Now, there are two very, very simple aspects which technology is utilized for. And I would like to begin with these two aspects and what is the two temptations that are out there for every youngster. The two temptations that are out there for everyone who may form in this category of youth. The very first is the category of women or girls, and the second is that of materialism. Now, these two are challenges that we ought to realize are not something that are just restricted to us in today's era. It did not just dawn upon us in the year 2000 or up to 2008, but these two challenges were out there from the time inception of man and will be there up to the time of Qiyamah. These two challenges were there. Youth before us face the very same challenges. Now, like when it comes to fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fasting has been made incumbent upon you like how it was on the people before you. And Mufassirin say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if people before you could do it, then so can you. Now, these challenges that we see today, many occasions the youth say that, you know, these are challenges that are different today. Yes, it is in a different format. It is in a different coating. But the challenges are the very, very same. Yusuf alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the challenge, it was a challenge put forth to him about woman. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam spoke to Sahaba radiallahu anhum with regard to the incident of the inhabitants of the cave. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam said that amongst them, one of the inhabitants of the cave, when he pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rock to move away from the mouth of the cave, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam said that he made dua and he said, "Oh Allah, I was put in a very compromising situation. A situation where I found a young cousin of mine was very attractive. And I was attracted to her being a male and she being a female." And then he goes on to explain what was the temptation and how close he came to that temptation. Now when he geared himself up to face that challenge, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him. So the very first thing for us to understand is that these challenges that are out there today were the very same challenges, the very same nature of challenges that were there for the youth before us. I know we become very confused when we look at these particular challenges. And confusion, the simplest example of confusion is they say the man's wife was admitted into the clinic because she was due. She was going to give birth. And in all of the excitement, instead of phoning the hospital, he dials the wrong number. And he asks them, what's happening? So they tell him, three out. He says, what? They say, three out. And then they say, we hope by lunchtime to have the rest of the seven out. He says, come again. And then they say, and by the way, the last one out was a duck. You know, he, by mistake, had phoned the cricket stadium. Now, that's a state of confusion. Now, we find ourselves in today's era where we become so perplexed by these challenges, and these challenges thereafter lead to things which are unfounded in Islam, things like depression, etc. Now, what we need to realize is the very first challenge that is out there, and that is a challenge of women or females, was there before. And the second challenge of materialism, the fact that today I want to be branded, I want to be seen in branded in brands. The fact that today, you know, brands has taken such a notion that if we have to just think maybe a year or two ago, who would ever have fathomed that someone would pay 25 million rand for a two-seater car? And the seat of which is like a bucket. I mean, today the Koenig will go at 25 million rand and you get buyers. Brands. You know, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, Tabaqat ibn Sa'd mentions this, and he says, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu an, he says, taksu ahsana ma kana min al-thiyab. He says, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu an wore the best of clothes. He says, ma ra'aytu bi makkata ahsana limmatan, wa la araqa hullatan, wa la an'ama ni'matan min Mus'ab ibn Umair, wa kanat ummuhu kathirat al-mal. He says, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu an, you would never come across anyone with more beautiful hair than him. You would never come across someone in Mecca who had more beautiful clothes than him, and you would never come across anyone who was blessed to such an extent. Now, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu an, if in today's era, you know, our brands go into Soviet, Levi, Diesel, whatever. Someone said, one old man said nicely, said, you know, today our youth are going into all of these brands. And at the moment, he says, when you're in those youth, you worry about Soviet and Levi and Diesel. He says, what is brands? Brands sticks to you to such an extent, come hit the 50 mark, then your brands turn into Panado and all of those brands. He said, when you're young, then you know, then we worry about Zimbali and we worry about, you know, Marriott and all of those names. He said, when you go further, then you worry about Netcare and where's the nearest clinic. Now, we become so brand orientated, but we need to understand that this materialism and woman challenges were there forever and are here now and will be there till the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, that ma taraktu ba'di fitnatan adarru ala ummati minan nisa. I have not left any greater temptation for my ummah more than woman. And naturally, what is materialism? Therefore, man utilizes materialism to acquire the attention of a female. And in today's era, we can even turn it the other way around, where it has now become a vice versa. Now, coming to the topic of technology. Today, technology is utilized to fulfill the very same need. In many instances, so many instances we come across where technology is starting to be used by youth in order to acquire what we regard as the satisfaction of one's desires. Now, technology is not something that, you know, they say Garmin. Like you see the advert when you come out of the airport and they say Garmin. They say even Michael Schofield needed a Garmin. Now, the Garmin or technology as such, we as Muslims need to first realize that technology is not something that should just be shunned aside. You know, taking the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Mufti Taqi Uthmani hafidhahullah says that look at the example of the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. He says, was that not the correct implementation of technology? And then he gives another example. He says, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, water was stored in a leather bag. But it was not just kept low, it was hung from a high place in order to keep it cool. He says, there is technology of that time. He says, the way women were carted around in the carriages was technology of that time. Now, the very first thing for us to realize as Muslims, when we come to the aspect of technology, we should not just accept technology. That is not the way of a Muslim. You know, some things are so amazing to us that if we take the aspect of the aeroplane, you know, the Wright brothers, who invented the aeroplane. The very first flight on an aeroplane, they had to bring on board nurses because of the nausea that people experience when boarding a flight. So they brought on nurses to assist people with nausea. However, as technology improved, what we did not do was to see that what was technology, what was good for us within it, but we just accepted the technology. So when they replaced the nurses with air hostesses, who today have become, you know, such a temptation, in every flight you go on, probably you take the du'as of the ulama, he'll tell you lower your gaze on the flight. That aspect of the nurses was then changed to an air hostess. Now as Muslims, if we were to adopt that technology, then we would have understood that what was the objective of a nurse on board, we could have replaced that. If there were no need for nurses, then there was absolutely no need for an air hostess on board. Now, the very first lesson that we get is not just to accept technology. Today, especially as youth, when technology is out there, we grab. But as we go further, we realize we need to adopt what is good. We shouldn't be afraid of technology either. We should be wary and suss out what is to our benefit and what could be detrimental to us. You know, the example they give of when we become too afraid in life, they say Sardar woke up one morning and it was just a bad day. So he got up, and as he put his alarm off, the alarm broke. The head of the alarm fell off. So he got off the bed, opens the pedestal, and the knob fell off. Takes out his shirt, he puts it on, the buttons broke off. He goes to the tap, he opens the tap broke off. That day he didn't want to go to the toilet. He said, everything I touch falls off. We become so afraid that at times we leave out what is good for us, and we tend to go into this sort of a shell. Now, as Muslims, we need to realize that every one of us has got a choice in life. Like how we have choices in everything else, similarly do our choices run when it comes to technology. We need to suss out what is to our benefit. However, we should not become biased in that. It's like they say the parents were at home and they had a little son, and they were going to visit the neighbor because the neighbor gave birth and the baby was born. But the baby was born without ears. So they warned the youngster and they said, we're going there. You know your mouth. You don't say anything about the baby's ears. Got it? He says, yes. As they leave the house again, the father says, did you hear what I said? He says, I won't say anything about the baby's ears. Got it. They come into the house. The mother says, remember, don't say anything about the ears. He says, you got it from me. So as they sit down, he looks. Now it's amazing to the youngster. This baby got no ears. So he looks at the mother and he says, tell me, how's the baby? So she's shocked, the little boy. She says, no, alhamdulillah, baby's all right. Can he, you know, all his organs, everything functioning, says, no, everything is all right, alhamdulillah. So then he says, tell me, how is the baby's eyesight? So she looks at him, baby, you can see fine, alhamdulillah. Says, well, that's good, because if this guy needed glasses, he was doomed. We have a choice of saying things. We need to suss out what is to our benefit, and we need to suss out where can we get what we want. Going a step further with regard to technology. We utilize technology in today's era for everything else except that which is good. Now, as Muslims, let us look at this. When Islam is being portrayed negatively through the means of technology, what have we as Muslims done in order to secure the true image of Islam through the aspect of technology? Now, we have this at our disposal. Let us see how we utilize the means of technology in order to enhance deen. And you know, living or mixing with the ulama and with the pious, we learn so many simple examples of life that we very often overlook. One simple example is how we can utilize technology to understand our deen better. A group of people were traveling with Zimana Hakim Akhtar Sahib Hafidhullah. And as they were traveling, someone in a car asked that, you know, is the aircon on? So they said, yes, the aircon is on. And then the driver said, you know, we're not getting the effect. So when they checked, there was one window open. So the driver said, close the window and then you'll get the effect. Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Akhtar Sahib Hafidhullah utilized this opportunity. He sees the opportunity to explain deen through that example. And he said, just like how, when there is a slight gap in the window, you cannot take full benefit of the aircon, despite the fact that the aircon is working. It can give you the benefit. He says, similarly in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can only take full benefit of the deen of Allah. Full benefit of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we do not leave the avenue for sin to come in. He says, close the door of sin and you'll benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Now, these are simple examples that we can understand. You know, it may be perplexed for us to understand that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us all of our book of deeds, every single action. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. Not a minor, not a major deed. Everything will be recorded. And then we ask the question, but you know, how does my whole life get stored and put into my hand? Today, take one flash drive and put it in your hand and ask yourself, how is it that I can have 30,000 volumes of books in my hand? Can we understand it?